down through the years in church history, what happens is that pioneers start doing something that is taught them and led, that they're led by the Spirit to do. And in subsequent generations, people begin to do those things and don't know why they're doing them. And then they become what God has called tradition. You will find that, and we're going to do some one or two new things today in reading responsively from the Psalms. You'll find that that is done a lot in the traditional churches. However, because of many times a lack of understanding, a lack of faith, you know, it becomes just a ritual that doesn't have much spiritual substance behind it. Even though the original idea, when it was given to the early church fathers and some of the pioneers of the church, like people like John Wesley and many others, you know, 200-300 years ago after the Reformation in 1517, and people got born again and they started understanding the scripture and they started doing things scripturally, the subsequent generations that followed them did the things, but they didn't do it, you know, by the Spirit. It now became flesh. And that same thing that was so powerful before now lost its spiritual power and luster, you know. And so many people just do these things. And this generation, by the mercy and the grace of God, as is revealed to us in God's Word, it will is the last generation. And so one of the scriptures says in the book of Acts that there will be a restoration of all things. All the things that were done in the early church, when the church was born afresh in Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost, you know, is now being restored by the revelation of the Holy Spirit back to the this end time Zion church that will close the age. Consequently, it is very important for us to have correct revelation knowledge, understanding and wisdom as to why we do Thanksgiving. Why do we dedicate a whole service like this to Thanksgiving? You know, and what is the benefit to us? You know, and what is the benefit to God? And what we should do about it. And so this is what I will just share with us very briefly. Shall we bow to pray? Heavenly Father, we're so grateful again for seeing us by your mercy and grace through 2017, bringing us into 2018 and the end of the first month. Oh God, you are faithful. We are grateful. Heavenly Father, we come to share the truth about Thanksgiving from your word with your people to create fresh faith. For faith comes by hearing, and hearing by your word. So as we go into this Thanksgiving service this morning, this time of Thanksgiving, we will do everything we do by faith. For whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Help us to do this time of Thanksgiving with faith, with understanding that true spiritual sacrifices will be given from our hearts to you, that the Father God will please you, that will be a sweet smelling savor unto you, that will refresh you, and at the same time bring blessing to the sons of men, because you are the God who inhabits the praises of your people. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Amen. Thanksgiving is a spiritual sacrifice that we offer to God because of our love for Him as a person, our appreciation of Him as a person because of His character, and also because of what He's done for us. I have separated two things there. You see, you thank God not only because of what He has done for you, you thank God because of who He is. Whether He has done anything for you or not, according to you. Praise the Lord. Whether he has done anything, you know, in your own perception, you may not think, sadly, that, you know, maybe God has done too much for you. But that is a wrong perception. But there are people like that. You know, because people often measure what God has done for them by the material and the financial. So, some people, when they say, well, 2017, God didn't do much for me. Because, you know, I didn't get a new car. You know, and I did not have a new house. And promotion I was believing God for, it didn't come. The contract did not come. The husband did not come. The wedding I was planning for didn't happen. So maybe I'm reading your mail. Hello, somebody. You know, maybe, you know, God hasn't done that much for you. Of course, you know, because you're a Christian, you know that God is good. You know, you're thankful. But you're not as grateful as you should be because you think he hasn't done some things he should have done. Hello, somebody. It's a wrong concept. Whether God, in your own estimation, has done much for you or not, there is one very important reason why you should always give thanks to God with great gratitude, because of who God is. You know why? Without God, there will be no you. That is a recurring decimal. No God, no you. So the fact that you are is something to give thanks for. Then not only that you are, that God's mercy and grace preserved you through last year into this year is enough, even if there's nothing else you can point to, that is enough for you to say, Father, I am grateful, because you are not self-existent. You did not look after yourself. You did not preserve yourself. You did not look after yourself. It was God's mercy and grace that saw you through. That fact alone ought to make you give thanks. You know, the scripture says something that I find extremely instructive and illuminating. And it is this. I've said it many times. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. God didn't say that thing carelessly, because God doesn't speak carelessly. It means that the evidence of God is so preponderant in the earth that you really have to be a fool to say that there is no God. And I agree with God. You are a fool. But I'm going to extend that revelation to this. The fool has said in his heart, God has done nothing for him. By extension. The fool has said in his heart, God hasn't done much for me. You are breathing. The Lord has preserved you and given you a second chance. Because there are some things that you didn't do that you should have done, that by now you should be dead. And he has given you a fresh chance to fulfill your destiny. You should be full of thanksgiving. We're going to read responsively, as I said, later on, from the book of Psalms. The Yoruba people call the book of Psalms Ori Davidi, which means the songs of David. Majority of those psalms, not all of them, were written by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit by David during his sojourn in the wilderness. And it wasn't one wilderness. There was the wilderness of Ziph. There was the cave at Adullam. Those years, the years when he was running away from Saul, David's life was hanging by a thread every day. There was no guarantee he would see tomorrow. No wonder why he gave so much thanks. Every day was a day to say thank you. This was what inspired the Psalms. And why did God
look at what you've done for me. He hadn't become king. They were not written after he became king. They were not written after the promise was fulfilled. They were written while he was still believing God for the promise to be fulfilled. You must learn to give thanks when the thing you are believing God for has not even come to pass, because of the faithfulness of God that's keeping you on to bring the thing to pass. Because if you die, you will never fulfill the promise. So the fact that God has preserved you is a sign to you of the mercy and the faithfulness of God preserving you to fulfill and to inherit all the promises he has promised. So that's why this book of Psalms is written. And you will see as we go on. You know, David, he would say, God, you know, you've done this for me. How great the Lord is. How good God is. How wonderful God is. At a time when, in his life, the prophecy of Samuel hadn't yet come to pass, it looked as if Saul was going to succeed in killing him. Yet, he learned to praise God in the midst of adversity. He learned to praise God when there was nothing. Even food to eat was difficult in those days. Remember, when they were in the wilderness, you know, and they looked after the sheep, it wasn't that silly fellow. Nabal, the husband of Abigail. You know, because they didn't have anything. Back in those days, they lived in an agricultural society. You either had some farmland where you planted food, and you had a place where you had your sheep, and your oxen and all of that, and you looked after. That's how people ate in those days. Because he was running from place to place, there was no place he could stay for some time for them to eat. So there were times they had nothing. So when they were in the wilderness, and this Nabal fellow was a guy who had a little, had a little bit of God, just blessed him a little bit. I don't know why people, when God blesses them a little bit, it gets to their head. You know, he was a rich man to some degree, and had a lot of sheep and all of that. And when they were in the wilderness, David's men, protected them and looked after them. So David now sent to the fellow and said, oh my God, David is a humble fellow. He is an anointed of God who knew he was going to become king. He said, I pray thee, send to thy son. He even honored him as a father, a guy who deserved no honor. And said, please send to thy son a little thing for the young man and all of that. Nabal. That's why his name is Nabal. As his name is, so is he. He said, shall I take my sheep and give it to somebody who I don't know? All these people who go away from their masters. And he insulted David. We know the rest of the story. But I don't want to branch off into that. The important thing here was that each day, the provision for each day was gratefully received. Now, something happens to us as human beings that we must guard against. Never take God for granted. You see, you may be financially well off now and secure. All that is all in inverted commas. Do you understand? You've got a good job, you have money in the bank, you got a good business, money's coming in, you've made investments, you bought stocks and shares. You can look back and say, well, okay, I'm comfortable now. Don't say because of that, you won't say thank you to God. The way you used to say thank you when there was nothing in the bank, and you are trusting God for each day, your degree of gratitude should not decrease. It should increase. Yes, you are comfortable, but the only person that gives you that security is God. Give the Lord a clap of praise. The only person that security can disappear overnight. Go and ask guys in Houston, Texas, or Puerto Rico. Just one hurricane. or some terrible natural disaster, and all your assets can disappear overnight. People lost homes, assets, businesses. Overnight, they went from 100 million to zero. Now, tell your neighbor, say, you're not very much better than those guys, you know. If you are better at all. So you have much to be grateful for. I think particularly here in Nigeria and Africa, God has so, you know, God knew the end time church was going to come from Zion beyond the rivers of Ethiopia. So he gave us a stable continental shelf. Give the Lord another clap of praise. What I said in our language is that I think, I've thought about that thing often. I said, one thing we don't have here is much of natural disasters. It would have finished us. We don't have hurricanes. We don't have earthquakes. The things that, you know, we don't even have monsoons. Very rarely do we have any serious droughts. Asia, the Americas, Europe, they experience far more many natural disasters than we do in Africa. That's enough for you to give thanks. Everybody, give the Lord a super clap offering. Hallelujah. And then thank God you are born in Africa. You know, some of us stupidly, because we don't understand God's word and his destiny and his plan and purpose, regret that we were born black. Oh, there are people like that who wish they were born white, or who wish I was born in America, or I wish I was born in England, or I wish I was born in Germany, because those guys there are better off than us. Oh my God, you are deceived. Your eyes are not open. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. Your destiny is not based on where you were born. It's based on who you know and what you follow. That is why you should be full of gratitude. And God has just kept us in one corner here and protected us. I was sharing with some people yesterday, you know, because of all the things that are happening, you know, they're looking for aid from America, and President Trump has said, well, America first, you know, and then others too, you know, as it depends on our interests. So people think that, you know, the amount of aid that is going to come to Africa and all of that is going to drop from the U.S. You know, he's still going to do something, but maybe not as much as the other governments used to do in the past. Because he's prioritizing America now, and he's looking for investments from Europe and, you know, businessmen all over the world. And, you know, Africa really doesn't have too much to promise them at this time, even though they will still do something, but not maybe as much as they would have done, you know, in the past. So there's a school of thought that they say, well, maybe we should look to China. You know, what America was doing for us before, maybe the Chinese will come and help us to do it. Well, okay, as far as trade is concerned, there's nothing wrong in that. The Chinese use us, we use the Chinese, no problem. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. But you see, the reason why I brought all of that up was this. At the end of the day, the emerging economies of the world and the place where infrastructure has to be built now is Africa. Whether you like it or not, Asia is saturated. The next port of call is Africa. And we as Africans, once we have the Holy Ghost and the Holy Spirit helps us, it is going to be the place of the greatest amount of prosperity in the next decades. You don't have to go cap in hand begging anybody. God will prosper us. Let's give Lord a clap of praise. Is correct leadership, and God is fixing that. Just read Job chapter 34 verses 20 to 30. I don't want to get into that. Just go and read. You will see that God has a solution.
as far as our leadership is concerned, and the process of change is already coming. I'm just going to throw this in free of charge. It came by the Holy Ghost. If you remember last year, you know, there was an eclipse of the sun, and it went over one country, the United States of America. It started from the West Coast and went right across, almost divided America into half, and came out, you know, somewhere in South Carolina or somewhere, you know, and came out, you know, and of course people speculate all kinds of things about, you know, oh, what does that mean? What does it indicate? And all of that. Ancient peoples have always been superstitious about, you know, eclipses and all that. But I just throw this to you. What does the sun represent in the Bible? It represents spiritual fathers or leaders. Remember? When Joseph had his dream. Remember? The stars were here, his brothers. The moon was his mother. And the sun was his father. The sun was his father. Amen. And in the dream, he saw the sun and the moon and the other stars bow to him. His father interpreted the dream correctly because he was a spiritual man. He said, you know, what do you mean? You mean that, you know, yeah, your father said, be very quiet, careful. You know, and of course he kept quiet, you know. And for years, it seemed as if it wasn't going to happen. You know, later on, we all know the story. They come into Egypt. They do bow before him. The dream comes to pass. So if we keep the consistent interpretation of scripture, the sun represents spiritual fathers. It represents leadership. So when you have an eclipse of the sun, it means that one leader will go black, and then after the eclipse passes, a new leader will come in. The eclipse of the sun is a sign of the change of leadership. That's why it goes black. Remember when Jesus was on the cross? When he died spiritually, it went black. But he resurrected, so the sun came back up. So in the same way, we're expecting a complete change of leadership in the whole world. And it will be effected by the manifestation of the sons of God. The eclipse is a sign to it. He said, there shall be signs in the heavens. He said, don't be like the heathen who look at them, they don't understand what's going on. We have the Bible, and we have the Holy Spirit, who is interpreting to us the signs. He says, if you know how to tell the weather by looking at the sky, he said, how is it that you cannot discern this time? Is it time? A time of change is coming on the earth, and it's being effected by the sons of God. Because the scripture says, give me thy heathen for thy inheritance, and all the ends of the earth for thy possession. Why do the heathen rage, and the people imagine a vain thing? For they want to fight against the Lord and his anointed. He says, the Lord shall laugh in the heavens, and he will have them in derision. He says, you leaders, be very careful. Kiss the sun, lest he be angry, and his wrath be kindled against thee. The day where the church of God will be the one that will be changing the kings has come back. So we're going to see eclipses. We will just be changing kings like you shuffle cards. Daniel changed kings. He changed Nebuchadnezzar to Belteshazzar, from Belteshazzar to Cyrus, from Darius to Cyrus. One man. The church in Jesus Christ is in the business now of changing kings. Amen. Amen. That's what that sign is telling us. So that's why, you know, don't worry about Nigeria. Don't worry about all this thing. You know, I mean, if you, whatever you can do, incidentally, I didn't plan to say it now, but it has come by the Spirit. If you haven't registered to vote, go and register.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
And don't sit in your house shouting and complaining about how bad the government is when you did not go and vote. Make sure, and the INEC has done a great job. The whole thing is there on the computer. If you voted in the last something, it's there. But check it. Make sure it's okay. I've done mine, and for mommy too. You know, make sure you go and do it. You know, and I think registration is still on. So go to the INEC office, make sure you are registered. Another point on that, this is just free of charge, it's not part of the message, but it's just come. You know, it is this. Don't be interested only in the presidential election. It is not the president alone that determines policy. This is a very big mistake. Most people don't bother to vote about the other things. They all go president. The president can't determine everything because it is the House of Rep and the Senate that actually determine the laws. They are the legislature. There are things they can do and force the president to do if he doesn't do it. And so we don't only want godly president, we want godly House of Rep. We want godly senators that will pass godly decrees that will help the church like it was in the days of Esther and Mordecai. He says, write the law as you will. Give the Lord a clap offering. The presidency is important, but it's not the most important thing alone. So we have to, the same zeal you find about the presidency, use it in the House of Rep. I want to find out who's representing me in this area. And what does he think? What does he say? What's his track record? Where is he coming from? I said, the change is coming. The church, the sleeping church has awoken. It is no longer business as usual. Am I talking to anybody here? Let's get back to Thanksgiving. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So David, we're talking about David. You know, he gave thanks. So you and I, you have so much to thank God for. Not just for what God has done for you, but the fact that you are alive. How many people know that we're living in perilous times? I didn't see every hand up. I only saw a few. So you don't know we're living in perilous times. Keep your hand up. Look at your neighbor. Say, do you know 10,000 fell at your right hand? And 1,000 fell at your right hand? And you are still alive? Take the other hand up and give the Lord a clap. Nigeria, in this same Ibadan, in this same Oyo State, but he kept you. Give him another clap. Hallelujah. Sit down. So never be ungrateful in your heart simply because some other things you wanted haven't yet come. Don't let that one cloud your mind from all the other great mercies and goodness that God has shown to you. It's a fault of the carnal mind. The carnal mind always has a tendency to focus on one negative thing and then block out all the other good things God is doing. Don't fall into that trap. Hallelujah. Thanksgiving. So, we must give thanks firstly for who God is. He's a faithful God. I like, he has so many appellations in the scriptures. One of the ones I like is he's the God of the ends of the earth. What does that mean? You see, those of you maybe you don't know a little bit of astronomy and physics, you will not appreciate what God does every day. You see the planets. It's spinning about its axis. Then at the same time, it's revolving around the sun. We call it 2 degrees of motion. And it is, it's so delicate that the angle at which the thing is inclined, if you move it by 1 degree, the thing will spin off. The Bible says he's upholding all of those things by the word of his power. That's enough to say thank you. Give another clap offering. The Yorubas, you can sit down. The Yorubas are deeply spiritual people. They said, Entoba Monuro. So, Entoba Mopeda Kumonuro. I'll reinterpret. What it means is this: the person who knows how to think deeply and reflect knows how to say thank you. The person who doesn't know how to say thank you is somebody who has not thought deeply. Just a few, I think it was last year, yes, 2017, there was an asteroid. How many people know what an asteroid is? That went past the earth, it was not too far from us. Maybe about, I can't remember the exact figure, so I won't misquote it. You can Google it. You know, but it was perilously close. Now, for those who don't know what an asteroid is, you see, when the universe was evolving, the word evolve just means changing. You know, God said, light be, and then the planets and all of that. And don't forget, you know, Satan, Lucifer's rebellion, the earth became without form and void. That was way, way, way before Adam was created, billions and billions and billions of years ago. Anyway, to make it simple, what happened is that when all of those things happened and the earth became without form and void, you know, and that's why in outer space you have, you know, planets, this moon that we have here, you will see that it has craters and all kinds of, you know, you haven't seen potholes yet. You know, real deep potholes, you know. So chunks of the moon and many parts of, it's not only Earth that has moons. All the other planets around us, they have moons. Some have 8, some have 10, you know, Jupiter and all of this kind of thing. So there was a lot of chaos. That's why without form and void. And so parts of those planets, chunks, you know, rocks that came out of some of those planets, they are flying all over the whole place. We call them asteroids. And some of them, their motion seems to be random. Now, you don't want an asteroid to hit the earth. It will be like 100,000 neutron atomic bombs destroy the whole place. So scientists are always looking out. Is there an asteroid? And I got to tell my brethren, because I'm a scientist myself. Chill. God's in control. Yeah. Give God another clap offering. Yeah. No asteroid's going to hit us. Yeah. Now, I know if they could. They could, but they won't.
Amen.
They could, but they won't. Because there's somebody who is watching over his word.
Amen.
That alone is enough for you to give thanks. Another clap offering. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Okay, now let me get to, and we've got to close, you know, so that we can start the Thanksgiving proper. You know, what God has done for you. I've talked about who God is. You know, when God has done something for you, God expects you to say thank you. And God finds it extremely distasteful when you don't. And I'll tell you the reason why. I want to borrow another Yoruba proverb. God will help me say it properly. Praise the Lord. You know? Enta shure fun. Eba nkwariye. Bi. Konire loni. You know what that means? Let me say it in English. You know? The person you do good for that does not say thank you, it is like an armed robber robbing you. Why will people say that? You know why? God, the Bible says, of him, through him,
and to him are all things. God creates and sustains. He not only created and left it, he sustains. The power is constantly coming out of God to keep all things in motion. There's another thought. I don't want to go there. You know, I'm presently finishing my PhD. I'm working on material science and simulation of atoms and electrons, you know, and I'm working in the area of solar cells. So I'm learning so many things, you know, as I'm studying and as I'm reading all of that, you know. And the other day I was studying, you know, and the thought came to me. Why is it? This is what we find in nature. We don't know the reason why. It's just there. Are you listening to me? If you in the what we call the periodic table in chemistry and physics, you know, you have what they call the noble gases. You know, they have the electrons and things, you know, that are going around the nucleus have what you call a complete shell. So when they are complete like that, they are tightly bound to the nucleus. So if you bring another thing, it won't react with it because it doesn't need that energy. And it so happens that something like oxygen, for example, let me just use as an example, you know, it has two, then it has eight, you know, and so on and so forth like that. You know, electrons. Then I asked, as I was studying, I asked the Lord, I said, how come it is two for this particular orbit? Then for another one is eight. Then the next one, you know, and all of them, whether you are on Earth, or you go to Mars, or you go to Jupiter, carbon is carbon. Those things behave, they keep those laws and behave. And the Lord gave me scripture. It blew my mind. He said, by him all things consist. Do you know if you were to, if those forces were not operating, they were operating, all those things just be at random. There would be complete chaos in the universe. All things by him, all things. Give the Lord another clap of hands. The molecule. Now you are allowed to take oxygen and nitrogen and mix them together, but you can never destroy oxygen. Exactly. You cannot. The basic elements, there's nothing that God keeps them. You see, if Lucifer had his way, he would come in, because let me tell you something, the devil knows maths, he knows physics. Oh yes. He knows maths, he knows physics, he understands, because he was the anointed cherub that covered it. He knows all of these things. And he tries to go in at the subatomic level to try and disrupt things. But because we do not have a God who is on holiday, give the Lord another clap of hands. Israel shall neither sleep nor slumber. Give the Lord a clap offering. Hallelujah. God makes sure that those fundamental particles operate the way he designed them to operate, and let nothing disturb them, for by him all things consist. God told me the other day, he said, you guys are just scratching the surface. You really don't know me. He said, there are secrets of the universe I am yet to reveal. He said, but I've got to reveal it to people I can trust, who will use it for the benefit of humanity and not for the destruction of humanity. There's still a lot ahead of us. But that's another message for another day. So we have so much to give thanks for. So when God does something for you, when you give thanks to God, what you are doing is that you are replenishing some of the power that he is giving out all the time. so it acts like a refreshing to him. And when you don't, it's like Olosha Kunren learning.
I'll say that in English.
When you don't, it's like robbing God of the refreshing he would have gotten from your thanksgiving. Jesus healed 10 lepers.
They go and show yourself to the priest.
As they went, they got healed. Where do you think the power came from?
God, through Jesus and Jesus' word.
Jesus said something, is a lesson to all humanity. One guy, and he was a Samaritan. He came back, and the Bible says he fell at his feet, and with a loud voice, he gave thanks. God called that thanks glory. When Jesus was talking about it, he didn't call it thanks. He said, it is only this stranger that came back to give glory. So when you give thanks, don't you know, when you give thanks, you're giving glory to God. Hallelujah. Only this stranger that came and gave glory back to God. Then he said, where are the other nine? Well, Olosha, Okunilerun.
Olosha, thank you, thank you. Thank you, Mama, if you corrected me. My Yoruba God is helping me. I'm better than I used to be, praise the Lord.
But seriously, you know, it was like, you know, he felt it. So where are the other nine? Only one person came back and refreshed him. The other nine went away with it. It is a great heart of, it is an act of great ingratitude for God to do something for you. And something great like healing a leper.
You will go and look for him wherever he is.
A leper, and your skin is clean, and you think it's too much trouble. You know what happened that day?
You know, they were in a village. Jesus always in motion. He has his Peter, James, and John, and the 12. They're always moving from place to place, preaching and teaching and all of that. So these people, they saw him afar off, because lepers are not allowed to come near. So they were in motion. So they now saw, it's Son of God, is the Son of David, you know. Yahushua, you know, the Son of David. Son of David, have mercy on us. As he shouted, Jesus stopped. It's his usual manner. Anytime you ask for mercy, God will stop. Glory. He will never ignore the cry of the afflicted. And the man stopped and said, it's you guys. You got leper. Okay, don't worry. Chill. Go see the priest. That's all. No laying on of hands. Oh my God. Great days are ahead of us. You know, we waste a lot of time, you know, on ceremony. There's no need for, you know, you see, it just depends on level of power. That's why we call it spirit without measure. It's when you have spirit with measure, you begin to struggle and kick people. And when you have spirit without measure, you don't do all of those theatrics. He just said, he just speak the word. He just said, go. He didn't even say be healed. There was enough power in go and show yourself to be released to get them healed. He sent, thank you. He sent his word and healed them. He just said, go and show yourself to the priest. There was enough power in that family to remove leprosy from 10 bodies. Give the Lord a clap offering. Hallelujah. Life and power went forth, and as they went, they got healed. But by that time, Jesus had changed position. He was no longer where they were. Now, think about this. Yeah, I preached this some years ago. You know, the reason why they didn't come back, this is the reason I wonder, and this is the reason why we are doing Thanksgiving. What was the reason why they didn't come back? Inconvenience. Jesus was not in one place. Where the priest was, only God knows how far away it was. You know, they used to have synagogues and all of that. Maybe it was 1 mile, maybe it was 2 miles, maybe it was 3 miles. So as they went, maybe it was after 1 kilometer or so, they saw that they were healed. So he's not there anymore. By the time I get there, the man would have gone. It's too much wahala. It's too much trouble to go and look for him to say thank you. It was only the Samaritan. who said, wherever he is. The man, God used him to heal me, and he began to make inquiry. That Jesus and his disciples, where were they? Only God knows how long it took him. It might have taken him 25 minutes, an hour and a half, but he hunted him down to say thank you. What time are you ready? What convenience are you ready to give up to say thank you to the God who had mercy on you? The reason we don't say thank you because it's not convenient. That's why, I'm closing, we dedicate one whole service every year, and we do it for hours to say thank you to God. It's not too inconvenient. It's not too, compared to what God has given you, it's nothing. That's why thanksgiving is a sacrifice. And David, you know, exemplifies this and says, I will not give to the Lord something that will not cost me anything. So this time of fasting is going to cost you money, but not money alone. It's going to cost you strength, power. See, I've been standing up now, and I'm going to stand up to the end of the service. Oh, my leg will pain me a little bit, but who cares? Hello, somebody. Amen. It's part of the sacrifice. Who made the leg? Thank you, Pastor Briga. My voice may crack a little bit, but who made the voice? That's why the man said, make a joyful noise. Even if it's a noise, so long as it's joyful. Hallelujah. The scripture says, and one of the reasons this is what endeared David to God. It says, and David danced with all his might. There's strength involved. It's sacrifice. So we're sacrificing time. Amen. We're sacrificing strength. Yes, we're sacrificing money. Amen. And it's not convenient. Amen. If it's convenient, it's not a sacrifice. Wow. That was the difference between the Samaritan leper and the other nine. The other nine could not take the inconvenience of finding Jesus to say thank you. Because between the time they were going to the priest, Jesus and his disciples had moved. But of course, everybody knew the prophet from Nazareth. It just took a little bit of inquiry. He would just come back, did you see Yehoshua and James and John? He said, ah, yes, oh, they passed about 5 minutes ago. Oh, yeah, follow them. He had to make inquiry before he could find where they were. And that's why Jesus said, were there not nine that were here? And only one, this stranger, could make the sacrifice. Many Christians are like that. To thank God is inconvenient. To dance is inconvenient. To raise their voice is inconvenient. Oti remi jori inform me jori. Who made the ori? In our language, that means, I'm tired. My head is aching. Who made the head? Who made the head? That mouth you see is tired. Who made the mouth? Give thanks to your God. And when it's costing you something, be grateful. You're doing it properly. David, he danced with all his might. I'm going to close. I thought about that scripture often. I mentioned it in the Christmas party in our house after Christmas Day, in glancingly, and I'm going to use it to close. You know why David did what he did that day? That was the day they brought the ark. For those of you who don't know, some of us don't read our Bibles enough. The ark was out of Israel for over 20 years. You know when they lost it? During the time of the sons of Eli. The Eli was the priest whose sons, like many of our pastors today, were misbehaving. It is amazing, Pastor Brega, the spiritual parallels. They were doing two major things. One, they were abusing the offerings. The offering was their own.
sons of Levi, but it's just the way you do it. People will bring the offering, they won't even let them, just like what they do today. You know, the offering, you know, you can take offering in a decent way, then you can take offering in an indecent way, which is like forcing the people. That's what the sons of Eli were doing, taking offering. You know, they used three prongs. Pastor Joey was preaching about it at that time. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And take the offering. The Bible says the offering became an abomination, abhorrent to the people. Then number two, immorality. They were sleeping with women in the temple. They used their position of honor, their position of respect, to take advantage of women. And those two things are prevalent in the church today. And I've got news for you. Please repent. If you don't repent, what happened to the sons of Eli will happen to you. They will be killed. Very simple. You know, someone said, Pastor, don't preach like that. We're in the day of vengeance. Things have changed. Amen. Those that trouble Israel, vengeance is coming upon them today. Jesus didn't preach like that in his day, because his day was not the day of vengeance. But today now is the day of vengeance. But if you are not troubling Israel, you have nothing to worry about. Another word. Are you listening to me? So, they just misbehaving all over the whole place. God speaks to Eli through Samuel, the little boy. I said, is it your father's house alone that I called when I gave my priesthood? That your sons should dishonor me and misbehave? I'm just paraphrasing the way they misbehave. He said, you will see. Those, they will die in one day. And that's what happened. The Philistines attacked them. They died. The news came back to their father. The man had a heart attack. He fell back like this and he too died. And God told him, he said, because of what you've done, I'm going to remove the priesthood from your father's house forever. And he did it. That was why the priesthood changed to the sons of Zadok.
Hallelujah.
It didn't happen immediately. It happened some generations later. He said that the word of the Lord might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the mouth of Samuel the prophet. God removed that lineage from the priesthood. But you see, you don't mess around with God. You know, anyway, finally, the ark was now stolen by the Philistines. And they carried it to the land of the Philistines. God showed them pepper. Let me just, you know, all their gods and everyone, you're dying. You know, so they were became afraid. They went go and put it somewhere, you know, and treated in reverence. But the point that it was out of Israel. 20 years. It never occurred to Saul. Pastor G, I just got a word. It never occurred to Saul to return the glory. They are Christians today. It never occurs to them to return the glory that we had in the Acts of the Apostles. It's not on their agenda. The only thing on their agenda is money. So those of us who preach end time and preach the glory, 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 we're just like David. And those of you who are not trying to say glory, you're just like Saul. David, he immediately became king. He began to say, how do we get back the glory? For these last 30 something years, in my heart has always been, how do we get back the glory? It is the characteristic of a David heart. The David heart will never rest. I will not give sleep to my eyes. Hallelujah. Until I find a habitation for the God of Jacob. I will not be satisfied until I see the same glory that was in the life of the Lord Jesus Christ and the early church, and then surpass it to fulfill the scripture. For the glory of the latter house shall be greater than the former house. That's a David's heart talking. And so Saul said, what do I want to do with glory? So long as I'm blessed. So, when David finally became king,
he consulted and said, "Oh man, what shall we do? Let us return the ark back." And so the day finally came. They made a mistake at first, trying to do the Philistines way, you know, by the flesh. And then he went to get into the word. That's why we need to study the word, because it gives us wisdom unto salvation. The instructions, exactly. Every six pieces they sacrificed. And they brought the ark back. David's heart couldn't take it. I say it in a nice way. That's why he took off all his kingly robes. And then he danced in the middle of Jerusalem with all his might. If you don't know what was going on in his heart, you won't understand. You know what? He remembered Goliath. He remembered the wilderness. He remembered the fact that he went to Ziklag. He remembered that, I may never have smelt this throne. And God was faithful to look after me, and I can see the ark in Jerusalem with my eyes. I will dance with all my might. Glory be to God. That person you must not marry. We are ticking them off in the Bible. The last one was Zipporah. This is another one. Micah, Masumo. Do not go near Micah, the daughter of Saul. And I can recognize them today. You know, when a girl or a boy, you are praying and you want somebody to marry, the first thing you want to ask is, who is her father? If it's Saul, if it's Ahab, the answer is no. Even though they are Israel. Even though they are Christians. You know what Micah said? See. The king of Israel. See how he ashamed himself in front of all his handmaids, dancing naked. He wasn't naked. It's only that he had took off his robes. You know, before all of Israel, the word came to David. David said, "The God who put me before your father's house," he said, "I will yet make myself be vile because of what he did for me." And the Bible says, from that day, Michal died and had no baby. You know why? She didn't understand where David was coming from. When you remember where God brought you from, you won't give thanks. You will give thanks with all your might. Let us pray. We're going to go into Thanksgiving now.